What I'd like to do today, as usual when I stand before you, at least in the last few years, is to give you a handout. And if you don't get them all filled in, I have the cheat sheet up front so I can tell you what is supposed to go in there. Has everybody got one? I wanted to look at something. I've been thinking about it for some time, and I thought it might be a good time to look at the idea. In my opinion, and it's strictly my opinion, there are two main forces in the world which cause more trouble, more grief, more violence, more crime than any other two. The first one is fear, and the other one is greed. Fear and greed. The Bible talks about both of those, and it's not in favor of either one of those. But I've got a lot more to say than I have time to say it, so I just pick one. And it's fear. I want to talk about fear. We misuse the term quite a bit. It's like donut day over next door. And we might say something like, I'm afraid, honey, that you only have enough donuts to have three. Well, that's just a way of breaking bad news to a child. But the term afraid is really misused in that regard. Or you can get the idea if you want to. The general definition of fear is an unpleasant emotion, if you'd like to fill in that first blank, emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous and is likely to cause pain or is a threat. That's just straight out of the dictionary. I'm not bright enough to make that up myself. That's what fear is. Now, it's understandable if you were one of those 17 missionaries who were kidnapped in Haiti, if you would have fear. Nothing wrong with being afraid in a situation like that. But there are places all through the Bible in which God says, fear not, don't be afraid, let not your heart be troubled, trust in me. As, in fact, we will get into some of those, but I didn't want to paint such a bleak picture in describing fear and talking about fear that we forget that no matter what we're afraid of and no matter the extent to which we're afraid, God himself is greater than any of our fears. And he's even greater than a fear that we might have right this minute as he would be in one that we would have next week or tomorrow or sometime. Let me give you an example. This past Thursday, 3 days ago, Alejandro Mihijo got a phone call from one of our Mexicans on the side of the road who said there's been an accident. The horse and buggy has run away with an Amish woman, and we're here on the site now. You need to come over and help. And so we did. Al and William and I went over, stopped the combines, got in the pickup, rushed over to where it was. It was about a mile and a half from our farm, and sure enough, there was Jose Roberto holding a little one-year-old baby, patting him like a big uncle or a big brother. The other Alejandro, was he had a horse hooked to a buggy and was holding his neck up against a tree. The way the story unfolded was that Sarah Byler, a young mother of the one-year-old and who was 7 months pregnant with another baby, had been going to the store in her horse and buggy, and their dog, a little short, what I call an ankle biter, was chasing the horse down the road. She got out of the buggy to get the dog into the buggy so it wouldn't keep chasing and barking, and about that time the dog did bark and the horse took off down the road. She still had the reins in her hand and was being dragged under the buggy, I take it. By the look of the front of her, she was all scuffed up. She had a puncture wound in her arm, and she was pretty upset, as was Alejandro. Not this one, the other one. it was a scary thing. And as the way it unfolded, she was chasing the horse down the road, but our two guys, one had been coming one way in a pickup truck, the other one had been going the other way in a pickup truck, and the one who was going the same direction as the horse jumped out of the truck and tried to catch the horse, but the horse ran off. The other one was coming the other direction, saw what was going on, and he turned around and got the second guy Alejandro on the bumper was able to come along as Jose drove him up beside the horse and cowboyed off and grabbed the horse and got him over against a tree. We didn't know any of that. All we saw was our pickup truck pushing up against a buggy and a horse in the side of the woods. I feared the worst. But as it turned out, those two guys were the heroes of the day. And while Rachel Byler was scared, and understandably so, for her one-year-old and her unborn baby, she had very little thought for the puncture wound and the blood all over her arm. Now, that's a legitimate fear. There's nothing in the world wrong with being afraid at an imminent, probable injury, damage to you and your family. When the Bible says fear not, it's not talking about those kinds of things. In fact, it's not a condemnation at all. Let me read you a couple of verses. I wish I had written these down on your handout, but it just came to me last night. I forgot these two, Mitchell, so I wrote them in. You'll have to write them in by hand. One of them is Luke chapter 2, verse 10. Everybody can quote that. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. There's a baby being born. It's Jesus, your Savior. Luke 2, chapter 10. Psalm 56, verse 3, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. Psalm 56, 3. There's a little song that Steve Green had in one of his albums for children called Hide 'em in Your Heart. And that was one of the verses that he set to music. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. If I were a singer, I could sing it to you, but I'm not. You'll have to look it up and read it, and you might want to sing it yourself. Someone has counted. I was not able to do this. I didn't have the time. But someone else has counted and said there are about 400 places in Scripture where God has told his people, do not fear. Fear not. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. The way some people have said it is this. There are at least 365 days in where God has said, fear not. And that's at least one for every day of the year. And that's down about the third or fourth paragraph. We said there are enough to have one verse each day for the year. It is not a condemnation. It is simply a comforting thing. You can see the difference between that. If a child, let's say, is being disobedient, and you say, don't you dare talk back to me, let's call it that, that's condemnation. But when Alejandro, the other one, was talking to the horse, as he had him up against the tree, he was, in Spanish, saying, ah, sweet horse, ah, be calm. That's what he's talking about here. When God tells us not to fear, he's telling us that because he loves us, he knows us, and he understands that we're just made of dust and we'll go right back to the dust when we die. He's being comforting to us. Now, Alan, I had to put in a little bit of physiology, so if you'll pardon me for a second, I want to tell you what fear is all about, physiologically speaking. There are two parts of the brain, one which initiates fear and one which limits fear. The one which initiates fear is called the amygdala. Maybe you've heard of that if you ever had a physiology class. The other part, the hippocampus, gives us a proper perspective on fear. So, Tom, if you are faced with a Tyrannosaurus rex coming right at you, the amygdala says, you better be afraid. But the hippocampus tells you, it's just a movie. Don't worry about it. That's the way fear and its disposition works. I will say it this way. Psychologists will tell you that in some people, the amygdala is overactive and the hippocampus is underreactive. And that's where you get the unknown, unknowable fear that is not healthy. People fear almost everything. We all fear something. Some people fear lots of things, and that's where it gets out of balance. I made a short list of fears that I know people have because I know people who have had those. And that's down about halfway on the first page. We have fear of leaving the home or fear of staying at home. Now, you may think that doesn't make any sense, fear of staying at home. All you have to do is look at the practices of some people who are never home, and it's got to be something like that. But I knew a man once who was a business colleague of my father. He's now passed away. He was afraid to stay in his own home. In fact, he was so fearful, and it was justifiable. He had had threats against his life, but when my dad would go to meet him for any reason at all, he knew that there was a 200-acre field called the Wall Farm down near Lafayette, and this man would go out into the middle of that field and sleep in his pickup truck. This was before there were four-door cabs on pickups. It was just two doors, and he'd lie down in the seat, and he would sleep. So when my dad would tap on the window to get his attention, he knew that he would be met by a face coming up and a shotgun pointed at him. That's how fearful he was of staying at home. There's fear of overeating and fear of undereating, eating disorders that you're all aware of. I know a friend of mine had a daughter who died about 2 months ago because of her fear of overeating. She got so thin that she finally, her body gave way and she died. Fear of making a mistake, fear of cooking, fear of undercooking, fear of eating fruits and vegetables. Now, you don't think that's real, but that's real. There was a girl in Great Britain who was deathly afraid of fruits and vegetables. The only way she was able to get health and healthy eating was through hypnotherapy. They hypnotized her so that she would be able to eat green beans and things like that, and she had come out of it. She was living for years on nothing but white bread and a little bit of milk. They couldn't get her to eat fruits and vegetables. So that's a real thing. It's a real thing. Fear of flying, of driving, of walking, of dogs and cats and insects and spiders and wasps and work and lack of work and snakes and fear of climate change. I'm not going to start a message on climate change, but guys, that is at least the second and maybe the third most unfortunate fraud that has been perpetrated on Western civilization. Fear of running out of water on Earth. I know a lady who's now in her 70s who realized for the first time, wrongfully as it appears, that the Earth was going to run out of water. Now, the Earth has a certain amount of water. It's just a question of what form is it in. But there are people who are afraid it's going to run out. Run out of too little water. They're worried about a rise in the sea levels. Now we're getting down to the real thing, fear of COVID. Some people are, David has a good friend on the West Coast who will not leave his house for fear of COVID. He's vaccinated. He just can't quite bring himself to step across the threshold. And yet, even so, there are some who are more afraid of vaccines than they are of COVID. Don't know why, but that's just part of what people are. Fear of crowds, fear of being alone, losing out on life, being discovered as a fraud, fear of the internet, fear of being away from the internet, fear of not fitting in with your peers. And that doesn't just apply to adolescents, by the way. There's a lot of people who are deathly afraid of not being accepted as normal by those around them somehow. Okay, enough of that. I said I don't want to paint too bleak a picture simply because God is greater than any one of our fears or the whole amalgamation of our fears. God is greater than that. There was a book written not long ago, I think it's been a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago, called A Practical Way to Get Rich and to Die Trying. Now, that's an odd name of a book. The author was named John Roa. He pointed out, and he used to be the head of a large software company in California. He's pointed out that many computer geniuses, at least in that area, live in daily dread that they will be discovered to be a fraud. That's the blank to fill in down there at the next to the last paragraph there. And this is the way it works. They have been looked up to for so long, and people look to them to make the correct decision that they're more and more fearful of making the wrong decision. And as it turns out, that among those in Silicon Valley, the suicide rate is 3 times the national average. because of fear of being discovered to be a fraud. Health worries. A psychologist told me once that a confirmed hypochondriac should not be allowed to use the computer because there are so many different symptoms that might be something serious but probably are not. One older physician in the Midwest, but no, it was in New England, he said that the best advice he could ever give to 60% of his patients was, give it 3 days and see what happens. Give it 3 days and see what happens. Typically, symptoms go away. Not always. At the top of page 2, I want to get into some scriptures now, not just the ideas, but scriptures. Matthew 10:28 says, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That is the fear of God, which brings up an interesting thing, and I think you could probably do a series of sermons on that. If I were a preacher, I might do it, but I'm a farmer and I won't. The fear of God. What is the fear of God? There are actually two different ways in which the fear of God is relevant to the human race. Those who are unbelievers and those who are believers. For those who are the unsaved or the unbelievers, the fear of a righteous God should truly scare them simply because the line has been drawn in the sand. Those who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ are in God's family. Those who have not are not. That's a realistic, probable, knowable fear. For the saved, the fear of God is a reverential awe, and it's not terror. It's a reverential awe. The remedy to the whole thing is given in Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's pretty simple. Pretty simple. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord will be safe. You may know the name Oswald Chambers. I think some of you have probably read devotionals that have been written by him. He said it this way, if you fear God, you need fear nothing else. If you don't fear God, you will fear everything else. So the fear of God, the reverential awe of God, if you fear him, you need fear nothing else. Proverbs 19:23 said, the fear of the Lord leads to life, so that one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. Now, as you know, as we went through Proverbs a few months ago, Proverbs are principles, not promises. And basically, it just means that all things being equal, that the fear of the Lord leads to life. That does not rule out chemical imbalances, which are very present in some people, and persecution, which is present in many places around the world. There's more than one type of fear. First, there's the known, divided between solvable and unsolvable. The healthy alternative is to take precautions and then get on with life. The second one is the unknown type of fear, which is divided between probable and improbable. Both probable and improbable unknown anxieties involve phobias, fears. We need to first acknowledge that we don't know much, but God really knows everything and loves us. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, for perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. I also put in a side note here. Every time I think about a celebrity or a celebrity's child, you know, it's fine for the acquisition of fame if that is healthy for them, but in so many cases it's not healthy. And I think that the problem that's made there is the fact that celebrities or those who are wealthy try to protect their children from things that really the child should not be protected. It's a sadness to see someone, whether celebrity or their child, who has been protected from every negativity possible and to see that they have made a complete mess of their life or have taken their own life. It's not possible to protect every negativity, a child from every negativity. So deal with it is a good advice. If you hurt your foot, walk it off. If you hurt your stomach, deal with it. When faced with impossible, improbable, or irrational fear, Scripture speaks to that as well. So now, I hope that's not too negative, because I want to get down into some scriptures, the good news, as we finish up the hour. A short list of good news about fear. 1 John 3:20. If our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. I have known two people in my life who were convinced that the economy of the United States was based on something that they themselves did wrong. And they were not the president and not the senator and not the head of any government organization. It was just an impossible, improbable, unrealistic fear that they had. Something was not right. But even if our hearts condemn us, Scripture says, 1 John 3:20, even if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts, and He knows all things. Genesis 15:25, this is Abraham talking with God. He was actually bargaining with God about Sodom and Gomorrah and how many righteous people can you overlook and not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He says this, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" Well, of course he will. He is the judge of all the earth, after all. He will do right. And that's comforting, or should be comforting to us, regardless of our fears. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's a good promise. Romans 8:38-39. For I am persuaded, Paul says, that neither death nor life, neither angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That pretty well covers it. That is everything. 1 Peter 5:6-7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all of your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Third page, 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Now, there is one thing, finally, that I think I need to point out, and that is that tyrants and dictators use fear as a tool to control their people. All you have to do is look at the list of socialist countries, from North Korea to the former Soviet Union to Nazi Germany to East Germany. Some people use that same hard-fisted thing to control people who are under their authority. I think I've shared this before, but just in case you missed it. The love of control is the love of self, but the love of liberty is the love of others. That's something that many dictators would be wise to take into account. And it's scriptural. You know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. So when you're anxious, I have four things that I'd like you to think about. When you find yourself being anxious about something that is uncontrollable or even unknowable, first of all, stop and pray immediately. I mentioned this verse last week in the short five-minute thing that I did, Philippians 4:6. You replace the fear that you have with peace. And the way you do that is to pump out the fear and pump in the peace by using prayer and supplication. Prayer is talking to God. Supplication is asking things of God. So you might say, God, that horse is running away. Will you please give me a way out of this? Will you help? I hope Rachel Byler did that, but whether she did or not, we had two heroes show up. Jose and Alejandro came by and helped her in that situation. Number two, rely on the Holy Spirit. if you look in John chapter 14, verses 15 through 18, you find out that the third person of the Trinity is here as your helper. Third thing is actively remind yourself not to be troubled. Your fear is not your friend. It's not something you sit and enjoy. You should get over it. And number four, use Scripture to remind yourself of God's promises. And I hope that that list that I just read through a few minutes ago will be helpful to you in that. Finally, the very last point of the whole thing, the ultimate fear is the fear of death. But John 14, verses 1 through 10, which, by the way, I wouldn't have known this if I hadn't looked it up, but that seems to be the most popular chapter in all of Scripture, John chapter 14. It says things like this: "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Now, that's not me, that's Jesus talking. "You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So while the ultimate fear is the fear of death, and I know good and well from human history that I'm a whole lot closer to the day of my death than I am to the day of my birth, I don't know anybody that's 142 years old. That means I'm in the last half. And many of you are too, Donna, David. We all will be there eventually. I didn't point at anybody else. And yet God speaks to that ultimate fear by saying, "Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe in me also. I'm going to prepare a place for you." All right, the last bit here, the bad news and the good news. The bad news is that left unchanged, fears can get out of hand. They can run away with you if you let it happen. But the good news is God is in the business of helping those who fear. Just ask. Friends, that's it. I hope you'll take this home. For those who need to fill in some blanks, I have the cheat sheet. But why don't we stand and we'll close in prayer, okay? Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you that you have given us your promises through Scripture. And so many, many times you've told us not to fear, that you have compassion on us, that you care about us, that you love us. I pray that we would be able to follow that and to honor you with the way we conduct our lives. Pray you'd be with us now as we go our separate ways. Help us to do what you want us to today. Be safe in doing it. And help us come back again next week as we send the shoeboxes out around the world. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're dismissed.